And when it was the time of the sacrifice to be offered, Elijah the prophet came and prayed, "O God, God of Abraham, Isaac, and Israel, make it known right now that you are God in Israel, and that I am your servant, and that I'm not doing this, and that I'm doing what I'm doing under your orders. Answer me, O God. Answer me and reveal to this people that you are God, the true God, and that you are giving these people another chance at repentance." And immediately the fire of God fell and burned up the offering, the wood, the stones, the dirt, and even the water in the trench. And all the people saw it happen, and they fell on their faces, awed in worship, exclaiming, "God is the true God. God is the true God." And Elijah told them, "Get the Baal prophets and don't let one of them get away. And they grabbed them, and Elijah had took them down to the brook Kishon, and he massacred the lot. And Elijah said unto Ahab, "Up on your feet, eat and drink, celebrate. Rain is on its way. I hear it coming." Well, there was no sound of rain yet. And Ahab did it, got up, ate and drank, and meanwhile Elijah climbed to the top of Carmel. I guess he was going to get dessert here. Yeah. Bowed deeply in prayer, his face between his knees, and then he said to his young servant, "On your feet now, look at the sea." And he went and reported back, "I don't see a thing." And he keep looking seven times if necessary. And sure enough, on the seventh time, he said, "Yes, a cloud, a very small, no bigger than someone's hand, is rising out of the sea. Quickly then, on your way, tell Ahab, saddle up and get down from the mountain before the rain stops you." Things happened fast. The sky grew black with wind-driven clouds, then a huge cloudburst of rain, with Ahab hightailing it for his chariot and for Jezreel. And God strengthened Elijah mightily, putting his robe and tying it around his waist. And Elijah ran in front of Ahab's chariot until they reached Jezreel. And I think I'm going to stop there. But in the next couple chapters, you see Ahab and Jezebel meet their death, and they get rid of the crooked king and queen, and God set things right. That's why a lot of times we pray, Diane and I, we pray that God will turn the hearts of people in our nation back to the one true God, and so they don't desire evil things like socialism and other things like that. But we pray and believe for things like that. And it's also, we got to remember that men of God are not wimpy and are not afraid to speak up. We're not afraid to ruffle somebody's feathers or hurt some feelings. Sometimes people's feelings need to get hurt a little bit to learn the truth. You know, we don't intentionally go out and intentionally want to hurt people's feelings, but truth is truth and it needs to be spoken.
Well, the one person that we were talking with on Facebook basically said that, well, how are you going to win anyone if you're so mean to her? And we weren't being mean, we were just basically saying it's wrong for them to steal an election. It's wrong.
We're not going to win those people anyway.
Well, did Elijah win the prophets of Baal by being mean to them? No.
But did he win Ahab and Jezebel?
No, but who did he win? All of a sudden, the people weren't on the fence anymore that saw it happen. So people were won. So we're not to determine who's going to get won. What we need to do is just continue to stand. You know, we don't intentionally, our goal isn't to offend people, but our goal is to stand on the truth and speak out.
In the New Testament, says abhor of evil.
Yeah. God hates
evil. I can't remember the exact.
Well, it says in the Old Testament in Psalms, they that love God hate evil.
Yeah.
And he says, Christians should never hate. Well, it says we should hate evil.
God hates evil. Does that make him bad?
Nope. You got something?
I'm reading in the Old Testament at the moment, and Hezekiah, he, a good guy, he went into the temple, and they got the priests and stuff, and the prophets, they removed all of the false stuff that was in the temple, and they took it to this place, this Kishon, where they killed all these prophets, and they threw it into the creek.
Mm-hmm.
All this junk.
Well, one difference between the Old Testament and the New Testament is in the Old Testament, they set up a theocracy where the king was supposed to be Jewish, and they all followed the Old Testament law. And when they would go to war as a nation, and they would have to kill their enemies. In the New Testament, we're not really Christian soldiers. I mean, there is a military analogy in the New Testament, but it's an analogy, it's not a literal thing. We don't literally, I mean, there are times we've had a civil war and a revolutionary war, and times we've had to fight for things, but generally we just deal with things spiritually, and we don't have to kill the prophets of Baal, which I'm thankful for, because I don't really like killing and bloodshed and all
also,
that.
Also, you want to keep it a war of words as long as you can before it has to be physical. So, you know, us speaking against evil, actually that's the right thing to do before it becomes something where you have to physically and use bullets instead of words.
Yeah.
You know, I'd rather use words and pray than have to physically hunker down and fight a true battle, a literal battle.
Yeah.
But keep your powder dry in the meantime.
That's right.
Yeah.
Keep your what?
Powder dry.
Oh, your powder dry,
What is it? What did they say in one of the World Wars? Praise God and pass the ammunition.
Yeah. Praise the Lord and pass the ammunition, yeah. There are times you do have to fight, and hopefully this won't ever turn into that, but like you said, the war of words is where you want to win the battle.
Yeah.
What? I don't know if this is happening now, but when Obama got elected, the price of ammo went up because the demand was so high.
Oh, yeah.
People were stocking up.
There was certain kinds of ammo that was almost impossible to find.
I don't know if that's happened yet.
I suspect that's going to happen in Colorado.
Yeah.
But
you know what? We pray that God will open people's eyes and see the corruption and see where things are wrong and turn their hearts. But you know, like we were talking about before fellowship, the Christians in the first century lived under the corrupt Roman Empire, and you know, I think a lot of the Christians, especially in Judea there, they end up going to war against Rome about 72 AD or 70, something like 67, I don't remember the exact time, and they lost badly, and that I really think God's will for them would have been to work within the Roman Empire to move the word instead of trying to be fight them militarily.
Well, see, even that Roman guy, he expected Paul to give him some money to bribe him so he would let Paul go.
Yeah. That's what happens in a crooked situation, yeah. There's a lot of places in the world, if you get arrested, you have a big enough bribe, you're released, yeah.
Happens in America right now.
Yeah, there's a lot of rich and powerful people that should be in jail right now, a lot of politicians that aren't.
Yeah, there's other countries that are making it a lot worse. I mean, the whole
that's true.
Based on bribery.
Well, the Bible says it's a crooked and perverse world, and when we shine as lights.
I worked with a guy from Mexico, and there's a big news story about some big drug dealer that got arrested and then somehow he escaped. But my friend's cousin was there at the time, and the guy that got arrested was just handing out money to the people that arrested him. And this is for you, this is for your family, this is for you lieutenants. And they just bribed him, but the news never reported that. They said he escaped somehow, but we don't know how.
Yeah. Well, Mexico also, it doesn't matter how the people vote, the same, whoever wants to get elected gets elected, you know, regardless of how the vote turns out. And, yeah, I hope our country doesn't end up like that. But, you know, if worse comes to worse, you know, we can go, God will send us to some brook and have birds feed us. Hopefully it never gets that strange.
There are some people that are going to leave Colorado.
Yeah.
You know, before we did start fellowship, Diane mentioned about abundant sharing. Mm-hmm. The other night at fellowship, one of the girls, one of the new girls that's coming over, she had questions about us, so we read right from one of the books that Richard wrote on how important abundant sharing is, and that how can you believe God if you're not sharing?
Yeah. Well, again, there was a difference in the Old Testament and New Testament, because in you read in Malachi where the people, if they didn't abundantly share, they were cursed with a curse, and they would get this terrible things would happen to them if they didn't. And now in the New Testament, we've been redeemed from the curse of the law, so the curse is no longer there, but the blessing still is. And there was also a record in the Gospels where Jesus was reproving the Pharisees, because the Pharisees, there was a young man who was taking care of his, he was tithed, he was taking care of his elderly parents. And that was part of the Old Testament law, that was your responsibility, because they had no welfare system, no Social Security, no Medicare. You were responsible to do that, and and so they were teaching them, the Pharisees were saying, well, if you give it to us, then you're relieved of that responsibility. Because they wanted the money. And so people should give, but we for the most part don't really give to big organizations. We give to small organizations or to individual people. And people should tithe somewhere, and it is very, you know, it's godly, and you should, you know, God gives you abundance, you should give 10% somewhere. And it's up to each person's determine in their heart how they handle that.
Well, and it also talks about not even really necessarily 10%, because it's as a man so purposes in his heart. Okay. So
that's true.
And so the tithe was the Old Testament, and we live by a greater law than that now.
But if you're given a half of 1%, then there's something wrong.
Something's wrong.
Or if you're given 0%, there's something wrong.
I think of Ephesians 6, where it says, obey your parents in the Lord, and it quotes one of the Ten Commandments, honor your father and
mm-hmm.
mother, which is the first commandment with promise.
Right.
So any commandments in the Old Testament that had a promise attached to it, the promise, you know, the promise still applies.
That's right. Removed
from the curse of the law.
Exactly.
The promise still applies.
Exactly.
You know.
So, yeah, people need to be taught this. And there was somebody I was trying to explain it to, and it was a woman who had some children, and I was saying, well, your children should be helping you as part of their tithe. And they had never heard that before. And I said, yeah, that's the way it should be. And there's some people we help that are older people, and the kids aren't necessarily stepping up, and we help out in that situation. And we, you know, when my parents were alive, I would help them out, and
I wanted to help my parents. They wouldn't accept it.
Yeah, sometimes you won't accept. I've literally had people, I've sent people that had great need. There was somebody that lost their house, and they weren't able to work because of diseases and things and illnesses, and I sent them money once, and they took it, and I sent them a second time, and they sent the check back, and they didn't want
it. Well, actually what happened is we sent them several, but then when they found out that we didn't vote for Obama,
yeah,
they wouldn't accept her check anymore.
I also run into stuff in the Old Testament. I've seen it in Proverbs somewhere, I don't remember where, and in Isaiah about defending the orphan. And every time I see that, I'm like, I don't know any orphans.
Well,
show me the orphan that I can defend.
You know? Well, it is part of the Old Testament law that you take care of your family, widows, orphans, and the temple. All of those were valid things to give to. Now, today we don't have the temple the way it's like. There's a lot of churches. You can give to any church, or if you want to give to a nonprofit organization, or help a school or a hospital or whatever God works on your heart. And but you should give somewhere. And I guess I'm preaching to the choir on this. We're all doing that. So, but
well, sometimes, look. I know sometimes when there's hurricanes and things like that, you know, the Red Cross or I don't know if that's a good example, but you know, there are things like that that it's very easy to donate.
Yeah.
So, I was actually, you know, a lot of those places you have to be careful because the money doesn't always get where it's supposed to go. Sometimes
like the Clinton Foundation.
Administrative costs rather than getting to people. And actually I was reading somewhere too where it says that FEMA essentially is broke and that each family should have at least 72 hours worth of food and water in their home because if any emergency arises, you can't expect
FEMA. FEMA isn't a first response agency. They're not even a second. They're third and fourth. They're down the line. Okay, that's what FEMA's set up. FEMA's not set up to come in like the fire department, the police department.
They come in afterwards.
They come in afterwards and help with infrastructure, getting infrastructure, or getting the, you know, that's like when they had the flooding in, what, New Orleans many years ago? You know, FEMA got President Bush could not send FEMA in. Under the federal law, they had to be asked or the federal government couldn't come in to
until the state asked for it.
Right, because there's the sovereignty of the state.
Okay, and the state didn't ask for it, and they got all that money from the Corps of Engineers and all that stuff to fix those levees, and they never fixed them.
What did they do with the money?
Yeah.
Was that when they had a state senator that had money in his freezer?
Yeah, and the mayor
county commissioners were.
New Orleans is legendary for. It's one of those cities that's legendary
for corruption.
Yeah.
Right. Yeah, but you know.
The guy that had all the cash in his freezer got reelected.
Which island was that? That was in the
Puerto Rico.
Puerto Rico.
Gets all
the
money.
That we sent supplies and stuff into them and never even got to the people.
Well, the worst is what happened in Haiti. The Clinton Foundation got hundreds of millions, and they end up building three houses and helped a few people. And the rest of the money went to the Clinton Foundation for other purposes for their crooked political. And then the Clintons go in and they will kidnap little orphan black kids and sexually traffic them to other parts of the world and they should literally have got the death penalty for what they did, and they're still walking free. So,
well, if you can call it walking.
Yeah.
He doesn't walk much. But anyway, let's not digress too much.
Yeah, let's pray for the food, and we will have that. And Heavenly Father, thank you for your word. Thank you for the great example Elijah gave us in the Old Testament of a man standing on the Word of God against crooked government. And give us the holy boldness to stand and speak in our day and time so things don't ever get as bad as they were in the Old Testament. And keep our country free. Keep available that we can do fellowships like this in the home without asking permission from a crooked government, and protect us from enemies, domestic and foreign. Protect us from socialism. Protect us from the Agenda 21 and Agenda 2030 and all those other things that they want to pull, and just keep us free, Father. And like I said, give us holy boldness to stand. And also, Father, bless the food and give everybody a safe trip home in the snow and ice that's out there today. And I thank you for this in the name of Jesus Christ. Amen.
Amen.
Amen.